All right, welcome. Welcome those who are watching online. For those of you in the room, we are studying the life of Jacob this summer. And I think we're all going to find that we have a lot in common with this individual. And perhaps if you have read his story before, you will look at it afresh and anew with us. We're in the book of Genesis, kind of following along. And the whole theme of this study is that we want to trust the story that God is writing in our lives. That's really important. And we've all done this, but we will kind of get ahead of God, or we will kind of try to manipulate our own way to get what we want. And you're going to see that in Jacob constantly. This, I know I should trust God, but I'm going to do it my way. And this constant wrestling with, am I going to trust the story that God is writing in my life? It's a huge question for every single person to answer. If I'm following Jesus, am I trusting the story he is writing? Or am I willing to compromise? Am I willing to say, yeah, I know scripture says that, but I can't wait on that. I can't hope on that. I can't wait for that. So I get ahead of God, or I convince myself not to do the things I'm supposed to do because I'm trying to figure out how to make everything come together. And if we would trust the story, and if we trust our creator, he has a purpose and a plan in everything. So last week was all about the birthright, that here is Jacob, right, figuring out, laying a trap for Esau, and ultimately getting the birthright, and Esau trading it for a bowl of stew. It's unbelievable that he would do that, and how much that was worth, and how valuable it was, and he walks away despising that. You don't have to get very far to know that there's another thing that Jacob would like, and that is something called the blessing. Now, if you remember back to Father's Day, we talked about blessing as a whole, what a blessing is, what a blessing does, and we will just kind of refer you to that, so I don't have to spend a lot of time talking about blessing, but this was really important. This is what took place in families, especially in the book of Genesis. It sets it up for God's people to say, this is what your family should look like. Are you blessing your children? That would be the question. Am I blessing the next generation? And it just begs us to answer that question. Am I doing that? Is that a part of my life? Is that a part of our home where I am actually blessing the next generation? So it was so important back then that you're going to see what kind of happens here because he wants that blessing. So Genesis 27 is going to be the chapter we're going to kind of cover. And I'm not reading the whole thing today. That's just a lot of detail, a lot of scripture. We're going to skip and just try to get this whole story in today so you can see what's going on here and what is taking place, okay? So the whole chapter starts off with Isaac speaking to Esau, okay? Prepare for me some tasty food, the kind I love. So if you remember that from just a couple weeks ago, why did Isaac love Esau? Because he had a taste for that kind of food, and Esau always got that type of food, okay? So he sends him out for the thing that he loves the most. Bring me some tasty food, the kind I love, and bring it to me. Then I will eat it so that I may bless you before I die. So Isaac, for whatever reason, there's not much time left, and I'm going to enjoy whatever it is that Esau gets for him and brings it. I want you to bring that for me, and I am going to bless you before I die. Simple, right? Except, okay? Rebecca, the whole time, is listening in on this conversation, and she decides that I'm going to help Jacob get the blessing. Now, why would she do that? It goes all the way back to when she's pregnant. She's pregnant, and, you know, there's a wrestling match going on inside her, and she's like, God, you have to tell me what's going on. And God gives her this prophecy. We are never told if she tells Isaac or not. And it's almost like either she tells him, and he doesn't care, he's working against it, but we're never told that she tells him what's going on. But we know that Rebecca has this prophecy in hold, okay? The blessing, everything is going to be through Jacob. God's going to work Jacob. So Rebecca's going to decide, what am I doing, right? She listens in and she goes, oh, he's going to bless the wrong kid. I got to do something about this. We got to do something about this. So she decides, I'm going to help Jacob get the blessing. And what ultimately happens is this thing goes wrong and this goes into a bunch of deceit. and it goes where it shouldn't go. But that's where it starts. Instead of, I don't know, reinforcing, but Isaac, hold on, wait a minute. God's given me this promise. Do you remember this promise? Or, hey, maybe I should fill you in on something I should have told you 40 years ago. We don't know about how old they are here, but there's this prophecy. And so you're going to bless the wrong kid. Don't do that. But she decides, oh, I can't go to Isaac on this. So we got to find a way to get you what God ultimately wants for you. This is why I'm talking about trusting the story, because this is how a lot of us operate. Well, God wants me to be happy, and therefore, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be happy. So I'm going to do things that God doesn't want me to do. I'm going to do things in ways God doesn't want me to do them, because ultimately, God wants me to be happy. And we do all this around corners and around roundabout ways. And God all along is probably like, why don't you just live the way I want you to live? It would be so much better for you. And I wonder how many of us just do this because we just can't trust that God is going to come through and that God is going to be the God he has promised to be and that he is going to work in our lives. So she is going to work another way because what's this all about? It's all about food. So we're going to help you out here. Go to the flock. This is what she tells Jacob. Go to the flock and get me two of the best young goats. I'll prepare them in a tasty way for your father, just the way he loves them, okay? So this is all about food again, right? We're just prepare it the way he loves it. You go in there, and he's going to bless you. Then you will take it to your father. He will eat it and bless you before eyes, right? Simple, simple little plan. Except it gets really complicated, and it gets to the point where he's got to go in and try to be who he isn't in order to try to get this blessing. But, here he goes. But Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. Jacob protested to his mother, Rebekah. I have smooth skin. My father may touch me. Then think I'm mocking him, and I'll bring a curse on myself instead of a blessing. Right? Okay, there's something going on. He's going to know it's not Esau. He's going to know that we're trying to deceive him. And so this all just goes terribly wrong. And you're going to see this, okay? So his mother told him, any curse against you will fall on me, my son. Just obey me and go get them for me. Listen, Jacob. I heard God's voice. It's okay. We're just gonna do whatever we can do to get what God has promised he wants to do through you. Boy, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? We do this all the time, don't we? We can just own this. It's okay. We're in church, okay? We can be honest. This is what we do. I'm going to manipulate things my way. This is what I think God wants in the long run. And there's no just, I'm going to trust the story. Isaac, what are you doing? Remember God's promises. There's just nothing of this. There's just, I'm going to go around and I'm going to do things my way to ultimately get what I think God wants for me. Like, God isn't big enough to do it despite everything else. So, what happens? Do you know this happens in the story? That she dresses him up. Now, what do I mean by dresses him up? Here's all Esau's clothes. Okay, you're going to put Esau's clothes on, and you're going to go in there, okay? And she sends him in there to pretend he is someone else. That's what she does. Oh, just pretend you're someone else. You know, if you wear Esau's clothes, maybe you'll be better. Maybe your dad thinks you'll be a better person. I don't know. She does this. She dresses him up, puts Esau's clothes on him, go in there, okay? So Jacob goes in. And he lies. He had a chance to say, no, it's me. I'm here. You should bless me. Nope. He goes in there. Nope, I'm Esau. Right? Bless me. Bless me. And he pretends he's Esau, and he ultimately gets the blessing that for whatever reason Isaac was going to give to him. Isaac returns. And he's just like, oh, isn't this wonderful? No, that doesn't work. Okay? And learns of the theft of his blessing and says he will ultimately kill Jacob, and so Jacob's going to leave. Now, this is going to be really important where we arrive to next week, that he has to leave because of what has happened and what he has done. And in fact, Esau, there's a little part in here, and we're going to be picking up later as well, where Esau says, you know what? Your name really is Jacob because you have tripped me up twice. If you go back to his birth, why'd they call him Jacob? Because he was grabbing at the heel of Esau. And Esau's like, you have tripped me up twice. You've stole my birthright, right? You got me to trade that for a bowl of stew. You took the blessing, just go in there pretending you're me. And ultimately, Jacob begins to think, well, this is my identity. This is how I do things, by trick and deceiving. And I think God really is going to work through him later in getting rid of that and dealing with all these ways he has operated to try to get what is his. Now, that's basically the story for today. Now, we spend a lot of time on it, and we'd all walk away and go, okay, what do we learn from that? That's most important as we look through these, that we ask some questions, and then we walk away and we say, now, how do I make application in my life about this? I hope you are doing this, whatever scripture you're reading. You're asking questions because that'll help you engage the text better, to find out what's going on better. Just start asking some questions, because as you read this story, you have a lot of questions, and you probably have a lot better ones than I came up with. But here's a couple I came up with. Why does Rebecca turn to manipulation instead of the truth? You ever wonder that? Why don't you just go in? Isaac, what are you doing? Are you forgetting what God said? Okay, are you forgetting what God said? Or does she know, it doesn't matter if I go in there, that man's got his mind made up and forget about it, okay? I don't know what she thinks, but why does she turn to, I can't go in there and say, do you forget the promise of God? Did we forget about this prophecy? Did we forget what God told us? Or maybe she goes in there and said, hey, you know what? I probably should have told you this 20 years ago, what God told me. I mean, either side, because we're not told. Why does she decide, I got to manipulate things to get it the way I think it ought to be based on what God has told me? I think it's a big question. Because then all of a sudden it turns to myself, why do I do the same thing? Why do I choose to turn to manipulate things to get things the way I want them instead of just leaning into the truth and trusting God in the midst of everything? Why do I feel like I need to do the same thing? Because it's easy to look at Rebecca and say, oh, that Rebecca, isn't she crazy? And then all of a sudden we decide, I'm the same way, trying to manipulate my way around things to get what I want. And for all the married couples watching or in the room, I'm just telling you, you want a way to create some problems in your marriage, just start manipulating one another. Just start doing that. And you can create all sorts of problems in your marriage instead of building trust with each other. Why don't we go back to that and just start building that trust? What makes Jacob believe he is not enough? What makes Jacob believe he is not enough? So much so that he's got to go in there and pretend he's somebody else. And that to pay this all off, to make this, right, he's going to put goat skin. Everybody wake up thinking, yeah, that's what I need. I need to tie a couple goat skins around my arms. I mean, who thinks of this stuff, right? I need to wear his clothes. It'll make me feel better about myself. I don't know. But what makes him believe he is not enough? Now, this is huge because this goes to the core of a thing called identity, which if you want to know where Satan is attacking the most in the current generation, it is in the area of identity. I mean, he just all out assault, all the unbelievable things. So our kids will turn to just about anything because all they keep thinking is they're not enough. They have no idea who've created them. They have no idea who's made them. They have been told in science class, hey, you're just a grouping of subatomic particles, okay? Good luck. Your cousin's the monkey. Way to go. You're an animal. you're an animal. And then we're surprised when they act like animals. Then it's like, why are you acting like an animal? Because that's what you're telling them. Okay, that's what's going on. In every single area, their identity is under attack all the time. And parents, if you do not understand that, then just lean in a little bit. Because it is. And if you don't protect that, if you don't guard that, if you don't deal with that in your home, then you are just going to be another layer in the attack of the enemy on your children. You can just add to it. Just add to it. Just add to all his attacks that has our kids thinking, if I don't earn this trophy, I'm not enough. If I don't get A's, I'm not enough. If I don't get this, I'm not enough. And they're all, it's just this message that gets pushed on them all the time. What are you doing in your home to make sure your kids understand in Christ, which we want them to be, you are enough in Christ? If you are not helping them, if you're not putting in places, if you're not teaching that in your home, please do not think your local school is going to teach them that. Don't assume that. Don't assume that the hour, you know, a couple hours we have them on a Wednesday night of the school year is enough for all of that to compete against the message they hear all the time. Don't assume that. It has to come from you in your house, that you make sure they understand their identity in Christ. Because Jacob here doesn't think he's enough. I don't know why. Maybe because Dad just kept looking at him like he was nothing and Esau's everything. Could be. But he doesn't think he's enough. So he's willing to do anything, put on any disguise, any clothes, go in there and pretend he's somebody else in order to understand that, no, God has created you to be a part of the line. It isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, is it? It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I wonder how long it took for him to understand God is a place for you. You do not have to be like him or mimic him or wear his clothes and try to be like him. God has created you with a purpose and a mission and on purpose. Why is Isaac determined to only bless Esau? I mean, that's just clear in the text. I mean, there is nothing saying that he's going to bless anybody else. And when Esau realizes that it's been stolen from him, and Isaac is like trembling, like, uh-oh, I just blessed the wrong kid. Esau says, bless me. And it's almost like Isaac's got nothing left for him and gives him a few words. But it seems like he's determined. Nope. I don't know. Maybe he's determined to just... It's going to be the firstborn. It's going to be Esau. And he's just determined, and he leaves nothing for Jacob. Because when he's done, he has about nothing for Esau. Well, Esau, good luck. I gave it all to Jacob. I guess you're going to serve him. Good luck. Why is he determined? Why is he so stuck on that? I don't know. But he seems to be a little stuck on that. So, some life application. Please. Go through this story. Think of your own. Look at the text, because you'll probably come up again with some really, really good ones. I want to just leave you with a few this morning for you to think about when it comes to this story. Number one, relationships not built on trust only have manipulation to fall back on. That's all you got left. If you are not going to build it on trust, that's what you got left. Well, I got to manipulate my way through this because we don't really have any trust. Trust is gained slowly and lost quickly. Some of you understand that from personal hurt that has happened to you. It takes a long time to build trust. You do not build it in a day. You don't build it in a week. Sometimes you rarely build much of it in a year. It takes time. It's cumulative. It's promise, I did what I said. Promise, I did what I said. And you build that kind of trust, where now, oh, you're going to do what you say. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt where you are, what you're doing, and all these other things that are all these random pieces. If we don't build it on trust, the only thing we have left is manipulation. And all you are is someone I manipulate to get my needs met and what I want. What I want. What I think I need. What I want out of this. And so I manipulate my way to get it because there is no trust. So let me urge you that whatever it takes, and maybe this hasn't been very good, and maybe, you know, it started off pretty rough. I'm telling you, start today. Do what you say you're going to do. That will make a huge difference in your marriage. Just do what you say you're going to do. You make a promise, then I don't care. Put 15 alerts on your phone so it keeps going off every hour until you do it. But do it because you want to build trust. And here is the great thing. You can start today. It isn't over. It isn't done. It isn't, I've set a really bad pattern for the last 20 years. Then start today and do something different. Because when you look around, all the marriages were like, oh, man, their marriage is so good. How do you have a marriage like that? You build it on trust. Guarantee you. Guarantee you. You're not looking back and admiring somebody, wow, they've been married 40 years and all they do is manipulate one another every day. No, no, you're not saying that. Okay? They're at the point where they can't stand each other and they go on separate vacations. Okay? That's where they're at. You don't want to be there. So start today and build trust and do the things that you say you are going to do. Number two, you need to understand this. It is hear a lie, believe a lie, and live a lie. And Jesus says in John 14, I am the truth, because that's what breaks this in us. We hear a lie, and either you reject it because you know it's not truth, or you begin to believe it. Once you believe it, you ultimately live it. And this goes on all the time, okay? If I can be blunt, most of you need to turn off the news. Okay, if you just think, and if you think it's, but my team wouldn't lie to me, yes, they would. Yes, they would. Yes, they would. Of course they would. They're trying to sell something, okay? Many of you just need to turn off the news. They've been lying to you for a while, okay? And if you don't know how to uncover and decipher truth, then guess what? This is what Jesus loves to do for us. Paul talks about that we have the mind of Christ. You know what that means? We can discern right and wrong, truth from lies. You're not going to sit back and be a victim because of the people lying. I'm telling you what, it is so discouraging to watch people live in lies. If you want to know, well, you should have ultimate compassion on the people living in lies who just get told, oh, it's okay, everybody does this. No. No, it's not okay. And it's the lies that have been going on for years and years and years. And guess what? They build on each other. They're cumulative. We now have generations who have been built on lies. And it's unbelievable. And you see it all around you. You see it in all the recent news. Just watch for it. Ask Jesus to help you discern the truth of what is going on. Because too many of us are making decisions, moral decisions, by the way we feel. That's a bad place to start. Scripture is given to us to help us. We're given the mind of Christ so we can help decipher issues that are hard and difficult. And I really don't care if 70% of the country in a recent poll says it's okay. Okay? If that's the standard, oh my goodness. Okay? Then we just throw this out and we start going by polls. That's what we should do. No. No. If you don't know why you believe something is right or wrong, may I encourage you, would you open this up? Would you ask Jesus to help you? Would you search this so that you know? Because it's very likely you've been lied to as well. And I'm telling you, what a sad place to be watching people get lied to for years and years and years. when Jesus came to give us truth and to break us from that. Lying only puts people in, it only enslaves people. That's what you need to know. It only enslaves people. It gives people power over other people to get their narrative and their thing and what they want. And watching people get controlled by lies, it ought to break all of our hearts. And we ought to be praying for those people every day. Hear a lie, believe a lie, live a lie. I'm telling you, this was Jacob. And God's going to have to do a lot of work to turn him and say, no, we're going to live a different way. Okay, you're going to be one of the patriarchs. We're going to do this differently. I realize you've been living this way. We're going to live a different way. The voices you allow to dictate your identity will determine your identity. I hope you understand that. You are in charge of the voices you allow to invade your life. Parents, you are in charge of the voices you allow to invade your kids' life. And a lot of those voices are trying to dictate them an identity. And if you let it in, it will ultimately determine their identity, and you'll sit back and go, I don't understand how this happened. I don't understand where this came from. I don't understand how this happened. It's simple. It's what you allow to tell you your identity. Jacob heard for years, you're not enough, you're not enough. Esau's everything. So what does he go do? I'm going to pretend I'm Esau and go get the blessing that God says is mine. I'm going to go dress up and go be someone else. Because all he heard was that voice, you're not enough, you're not enough, you're not enough. And I have to be careful with identity because this has been so misappropriated by the enemy who just confuses people constantly. So those voices, what are you allowing into your life to dictate your identity and who you are? Last one. We don't bless our favorite child, we bless our children. Okay, that's the whole purpose in this, is that we understand this, okay? There is some great dysfunction going on here where I don't know why Isaac doesn't like Jacob. I don't know. The text doesn't say. It's just clear he doesn't. It's just clear, I don't know. I don't relate to him. He doesn't hunt well. I don't know what it is, okay? But he's got this so wrong that he's blessing His goal is just to bless a child and not his children. So I'm telling you the same thing. Those of you might think, oh, I got a favorite child. And you might have told your other kids, oh, I wish you could be like so-and-so. Could you do me a favor? You could just never say that again in your house. That would be helpful. Never say that again in your house. Okay? Bless your children. All of them. Even the ones that drive you crazy. Especially them. They need it the most. Do you know our children? This is all the dads watching and in the room, we should just freak out by this. Our children will assume on God what we do as fathers. That's not a comforting thought. That will keep you up at nights. Okay? Our children put on God what we are. That means if we're hard and we're difficult, guess what they think about God? And we start talking about God as father. God must be hard and difficult. He must be like my dad. Okay? Whatever we do, our children start assuming that to God. We're absent. That's what they think about God. If we're not there, if we're not engaged with them, guess what they think about God? All the things. And this is scary, but you need to understand it. So you understand, oh, I understand what God wants me to do. My children are going to assume on God what I do. So I better get this right. I better get this right. Or they're going to get a bad picture of who God is by the way I relate to and care for them. All right. That was a lot today. I understand. That is a whole lot. This is an incredible narrative that, if you haven't understood, has so much to teach us. And normally, with stories like this, I think we just at times read them and go, oh. So don't dress up like the other brother and go steal a birthright. And that's not the lesson really to get it. There's far more here that is so prevalent to our lives. So this is actually a perfect Sunday that we are going to take communion together. So if you're watching online, you can grab what elements you have at home and do this with us. But we have in here the cup and the bread together. And so we'll, in a few moments, ask you to come up on either side. I'm going to ask Dan if he would help, and Dave if you would help come up here and be the ones passing them out, and that you would come up here and grab that and take those two elements together. It totally reminds us, Jesus came, died in our place, and rose again for our salvation. We have incredible hope because of that. And he just invites us constantly to remember that and hold on to that truth. So we're going to pray. And again, all you have to be is a follower of Jesus. Okay, don't be a member of the church. Follower of Jesus, you can free to come up and participate in this. Parents, what you allow your kids to do, that is totally up to you. We leave that up to you and your decisions with them. So we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless the cup and the bread. And then we're going to invite you to come up and take it this morning. Father, I know this morning has been a lot and a lot of heavy things about identity and truth. Heavy, heavy things that, frankly, most of us don't think about very often. But Father, the enemy just keeps pushing forward and gaining more ground. With every generation, he gains more ground, especially in the area of truth and identity. And it's so hard to watch. It is so hard to watch our generations, our kids, lied to and invited, because that's where they'll find some happiness. That's where they'll find their purpose and meaning. And all of it's apart from you. Where we can only, as Moses encounters and the writer says, we only count the pleasures of sin for a season. And then it ends. We don't find ourselves in very good places. And we are so grateful you redeem and you save and you rescue. And we ask you to do that. We ask you to help us to engage our children. We ask you to engage, help us to engage this generation as a church. We ask you to be people who embrace truth, not what is popular opinion. What is truth from your word? And Father, if we don't know, we need to find out. And I pray you would give us the mind of Jesus as we navigate these issues. We're getting ready to take the cup and the bread, which takes us all the way back to that night with your disciples. It seemed like a Passover table, but took those elements and you said, they're me. And what I'm about to do for you, to ransom you, to save you, to rescue you, I pray that we'll take those today afresh and anew, that you came to rescue us, save us, and redeem us. May you work in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So if Dan, Dave, you come up and help, we'll invite you to come and take those.